Since it was the day of preparation, the Jews did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath, especially because that Sabbath was a day of great solemnity. So they asked Pilate to have the legs of the crucified men broken and the bodies removed. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once blood and water came out. He who saw this has testified, so that you also may believe. His testimony is true, and he knows that he tells the truth. These things occurred so that the scripture might be fulfilled: none of his bones shall be broken. And again, another passage of scripture says, they will look on the one whom they have pierced. There are two endings of John's Gospel, although scholar Tom Brody argues that the text is the work of the one editor-writer. What those texts in chapters 20 and 21 have in common is that there is talk of believing, of witnessing, and of seeing. But why I mention this is that in the text we look at today, we have the same emphasis on what is being witnessed, on the trustworthiness of the witness, and the remark that what is written is put down, that you may believe as well. So here is the poignant scene of the Roman soldier making sure, as it were, that the job he was given to do is completed by piercing the side of Jesus and the issue of water and of blood. As if things weren't already horrific and so tragic for his still young mother and the disciple whom he loved, watching on. Jesus' side is pierced. He gave himself into our hands and, yes, even after his agonizing death, we are still piercing him sorely and wounding his body. Not just Roman soldiers wound still the body of Christ. Our newsstands can attest to damage, suffering, torture done to Christ by some of his own disciples. Christ, have mercy. When devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus first developed, naturally people tried to portray the meaning of the feast. This was done by the hundreds, thousands of images of the face of Jesus that adorned churches in Europe and beyond in the 17th and 18th centuries. At some stage, unfortunately, faith became less strong, less secure, and thus more forcible images were introduced, so we received the more recent and not entirely felicitous tradition of depicting a heart visible outside the body of Jesus, in some images even outside his clothing. I hope you would agree that it would be ludicrous for an artist who were asked to depict the intelligence of Aristotle, of St. Augustine, to go ahead and give us a painting of the brain of either. Surely the intelligence of great thinkers and teachers is to be admired, perhaps even imitated, not misrepresented. Perhaps we can focus then, as Christian believers, focus in our hearts and minds on the loving face of Jesus as the one who spots those who need care and healing. The face of Jesus that is spat upon, the face of Jesus that comes close to us with tender embrace, full of forgiveness, and a hand of support in our efforts in faith to follow him. May Christ live in our hearts by faith.